Hey, it's Chaz and AJ in the morning.
Hey, what's going on?
Thanks for listening to the podcast. Here are some of the best parts from today's show.
Listen to it, please. Thank you.
And please subscribe, share, like, comment, all that stuff.
All of it, please.
Thank you. The new professional soccer team and stadium coming to Bridgeport in 2025. Mm-hmm. Let's talk to Mayor Ganim, who's on the phone now.
It's a good...
It's not Mayor Ganim.
He's good.
Wow.
USA, baby.
Is that AJ?
No. I can't hold not that long.
Good morning, Mayor Ganim.
Good morning.
Morning.
It is a good morning. How are you?
Ah, when did you get the news?
Well, we've been working with Andre and his team. He reminded me, I said 2 years they first visited, but he says almost 3 years. So as much
when
as
did he
like
tell you? When did you hear? We just found out. When did you know?
Well, we had been working with them, and they had gone through and got approval for this from our zoning commission a while ago. But as far as the commitment to make the announcement, that was only arranged in the last week or so.
Wow!
Oh, and
wow.
The ability to make the formal announcement that that he had a team and that he wants to be a part of building a soccer stadium in Bridgeport, on a location, on property that's identified as a perfect site. I mean, all those pieces came together.
Yes, yeah, right on the water. What was it, some like Greyhound site?
Years back, there was and it's not too far many years back, there was the dog track.
Okay.
There used to be, there's not too many around anymore, but it was an attraction, and it was on that site. It's a rather large site along the riverfront. So it's a wonderful site, and if you get the opportunity, even in addition to soccer, I mean, down the road, he's got phase two.
Yeah,
phase
all right.
Three,
so I want to talk to you about all that. So,
yeah.
Shorter answers, sir, please, with all due respect.
Right. No positive stuff.
Okay. So, we have
AJ
stuff.
AJ loves it when you reprimand me.
No, I don't.
He does look a little happy.
Giddy? Maybe a little
giddy.
Maybe a little bit.
Okay. So, it's at the old dog track right there on the water. How many people will it seat?
Up to 10,000, I think is the number he's using.
Damn. Okay. And this will be used for concerts at some point or no?
That has not been mentioned, no.
Okay. All right, so just soccer and other events. What would the other events be?
They have not identified other events. It's primarily going to be a soccer. It's framed as a stadium for soccer.
Do we think we have a soccer audience here in Connecticut that'll justify a 10,000-seat stadium?
Yes.
Okay. And who pays for the stadium?
Well, the stadium hasn't been paid for yet. He's invested, as he says, millions of dollars to get it to this point. It appears he's gone and asked or plans on talking to the state about ways to partner in helping to finance the stadium.
Right.
I sold brownies. That worked.
Oh,
Thank you. To get to California?
Exactly right. She sold a lot of brownies.
Yeah, sell a lot of brownies.
Brownies for soccer. You got a slogan for you.
Be willing to pull your toes out.
Exactly.
When
right. $100 for those.
How come I have to keep my answer short and AJ can just go on and on like that?
Because I work
here. Called Chaz and AJ. No, you don't have to keep your answer short to where it's one word, but let me get in some other questions. Don't go through the history of the stadium, 3 years of discussions. I asked, when did you know? Okay, we just found out, when did you know? And then we go through 3 years of meetings.
It all started when I was born.
You know, Chaz, when the great sport of soccer was first invented.
You know, the ball was invented by...
Mayor Ganim is on. We're talking about this new professional soccer team and stadium coming to Bridgeport in 2025. So Major League Soccer says, yes, Connecticut can have a team.
Nice.
That's
huge. And now this guy is like scouring the earth looking for great players, great management to pull this together. This is it's a big deal.
It's exciting.
Yeah.
It's a really big deal.
It's exciting.
He's the youngest and I think the first minority owner of this type of soccer franchise. He's a pretty impressive man, and he has quite a team. And the opening they did was reflective of all that. Invited everyone, very inclusive, very clear on vision and what he wants to do and what he has and how to do it. So very impressed, and we want to partner with him and will as much as we can make this thing happen, hopefully by 2025.
Cool.
Now, if I'm Howard and I just opened the Hartford Healthcare Amphitheater in Bridgeport and spent all of that money there, I would want some assurance that, you know, you're not going to start doing concerts down the road. Was there any part of that, you know, did that happen? Did he call you up and say, Joe, what's going on here, Mayor?
No, that did not come up. But I'm sure if you ask, and I will be seeing Howard and ask him, but I think he's welcoming. I don't know if he's made a public comment. Welcoming this, as Bridgeport's been identified as the entertainment capital. Add the word now. You can even add the word sports and entertainment capital of Connecticut. So I think he welcomes it as a compliment to what he's doing, and the Fillmore, which he's going to open another $50 million investment, the Fillmore. So Howard's going like gangbusters over on his site.
Yeah, he's a big believer in Bridgeport.
Unbelievable. He is single-handedly as a businessman with a commitment for the city and has done tremendous things. So, I mean, I can't say enough good things about him. And his voice is a very strong one in Bridgeport's future. We appreciate it.
When is this election coming? It's a January 24th
or 9th? January
23rd.
Wow.
Okay. How are you feeling?
Good. 10 days away. It's very difficult for people to have an election in January, but we're encouraged. I'm encouraged. And please come out and vote on January 23rd. The future of the city, obviously, who the mayor is critically important. I think I've continued to make my case to our
Has your opponent talked about the soccer stadium, and how does he feel about it?
No, I haven't heard anything. He hasn't really put much out that's positive about the city. We have the soccer stadium. We have Steel Point going vertical with waterfront housing next week. We have as much as Bridgeport, as I say, is sports and entertainment. We still have a manufacturing base. We have a $50 million new battery company coming in with 200 jobs. I'll be meeting with them later today. So there's a lot of good stuff going on. I don't hear any. I hear crickets on the other side, except, you know, condemnation and criticism.
The crickets that really bothered me the most is when a city council member called the police chief a pig and the cops piglets, and he just comment. Like, how do you not comment on that?
Yeah.
Those comments have got to be condemned. I mean, how do you
immediately
call your chief?
Immediately.
Yep.
Right?
Immediately.
Yeah.
But he has a history of berating police officers. I mean, some of those police reports are out there. He's been arrested for telling cops under a prior administration, I'm going to get your badge or your ass on Monday or something like that. Terrible, terrible.
Would you say, like, in the city council member, how do you, would you classify this person as a, quote, nutbag?
I would. And I don't mean any disrespect, but there's some serious issues there. And it's unfortunate that in some capacity, people might think that she represents any part of the city of Bridgeport as an elected official. So I'm apologetic, frankly, for anybody who must misconceive that she represents anything. We condemn her remarks. The city council does. I do. We stand with our police department and all who she's disrespected. It's a terrible thing. And for Gomes to be a part of that, her to be a part of him and what they want to do for the city, I hope residents have their eyes open on January 23rd. It's very important.
It seems to me, even if, like, you agreed with such a wild, crazy statement, you would say, just for the public record, and that you disagree with it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's such a wild, wild, nutty thing to come from a person of some kind of authority in city government to say that about the police department. And then
seriously,
not just come out and say, I want to lead this city, so I'm going to say it.
Yeah, yeah.
It's wild.
Unreal.
I've spoken to the chief and every officer that I've seen. I looked him in the eye and I, you know, in my own way, said, I'm sorry this happened. We stand with you. And most of they were all to the T. The chief is just a you know, class act, just let it roll off his back and said, look, Joe, I'm here to do a job and I'm going to do it. And none of this stuff's going
to
just turn.
You have to be able to do that to be a cop now.
Yeah.
You have to just let stuff roll off your back. It's tough, though, when the people who should have your back don't.
Yeah.
That's tough. But all right, Mayor, we're going to go. But congratulations
on
the good.
Thank you. We'll have a big announcement next week if you have time, and we'll talk more about Bridgeport. Thanks. And AJ, it's always a pleasure.
Thank you. Same.
What do you mean by that, Mayor?
Same.
So it's not a pleasure to talk to me.
Even though he gets to go on and ramble and you shut me down, it's still a pleasure to be on the show with him.
Well, shouldn't you say it's a pleasure to talk to me? Isn't it a pleasure to talk to me?
And one more thing before I leave. At least to AJ. I got you, babe.
All right, Mayor. Thank you.
Thank you, guys.
That's pretty exciting, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
A Russian singer was handed a 10-day prison sentence after exposing himself fully naked on stage when a sock that he had been wearing over his penis fell off.
Oh, so you got to make sure it's on there. Now, do you just put on the wiener part, or does it cover the whole thing?
Like, I think you got to cover everything.
You got to cover everything. We can't be just like wearing a nose warmer.
Wait, what do you mean?
Yeah, get everything in there. The entire...
The beans.
Yeah, the entire junk.
The Frank and beans.
Exactly, right. Right.
Hmm.
Otherwise...
Well, what would you do? Would you just put it on the Frank?
You can't. You got to use the elastic to tuck. That's what you got
to
go on.
Well, you'd have to. I want the whole thing covered.
You know, otherwise, you got like a chip clip on there. Yeah,
kind of like a present. Put a little bow on it.
Just pinch it to the inside of your thigh.
What kind of sock do you use? You don't want to use those little ankle socks. Those little lacy ones.
You
want to
use
wear.
A tube sock, even right. If you're not filling it up.
Exactly, right. You want with the two bands on it. That's right.
You don't want any socks that have toes.
Toe socks, yeah. Yeah, it was like someone's dribbling.
What's wrong with that guy's big toe?
Something's wrong with it. What's these other things but here? Yeah.
And don't use a nylon.
Yeah, no, you don't want that. No. No, you're not robbing a bank here.
Right.
Yeah.
Or a baby sock.
No, baby sock, no, definitely not.
Mm. And it's also a new sock, right?
Right.
Like you're not wearing one that's got like the heel worn out.
Right. and you have right got a hole in it. I see your toe. That's not a toe. Okay, never mind.
The verdict against Maxim Tessely, frontman of the band Shenki, which means or translates to the puppies.
Oh, we saw Shenki.
We saw his puppy.
Yep.
Was imposed by a court on the grounds of, quote, petty hooliganism.
Ah, yes. You have the word petty in there, do you? That's pretty petty.
That does make it sound worse.
Yeah.
Petty.
You can't say like major vandalism and petty.
Yeah, he's trying to bump the charge up instead of down. He's like, come on, right. Man, you got to give me more than that.
Come on.
Yeah, come on, I'm a hardened criminal.
It came less than 2 weeks after a rapper was jailed for wearing nothing but a strategically placed sock at a Moscow celebrity party that caused a national scandal.
Is there a costume shortage over there?
Yeah, what's going on in Russia?
Right? Isn't it usually cold in Russia?
Right. Yeah.
Right.
Maybe that's not a good look.
Though. Yeah, exactly.
Look how tough I am. I am not cold.
Yeah, with the lead singer of the Mushrooms.
The button mushrooms.
Yeah, right. The elevator buttons. We sing in a high voice.
Video published on social media showed Tessely on stage with the sock in place and briefly naked without it, prompting shrieks from the audience.
Wait, his last name was Testy?
Tessely.
Oh, is it Testy? Right. That's a lot of balls. She's quite testy.
That's like a bad Russian puppet show.
Seriously, right? Now, what do? You keep the sock and have him autograph it, or do you throw it back to you? Don't pick it up. Don't touch it. Don't touch it.
No, it's good. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, that's his sock.
Hey! Hey, it's me! Check this out! I dance! I sing! I love the sock! Whoop! Hey! 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 I thought I'd keep the beat! Hey! 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 Hey!
That's the other problem. If you're not completely excited about this...
Right. Feel bad
event,
for the person.
It's not a good look.
The person in the front row. Hey! Oh! Hey! Oh, yeah!
Across the face.
Right. Stop spinning!
Oh, it's worse than SeaWorld.
Right. Yeah, he spins around his hands.
The drum solo?
What is it? Drum solo? Yeah.
And now I will pole vault myself backstage.
Hey! This song is called Schmack in the Facin'.
CES. It's the Consumer Electronics Show. It happens in Vegas every year. It is the biggest consumer electronics show. And we have Vegas Starfish, Jen G on the phone, who's there. Good morning. Tell us about a few of the things you've seen that have blown you away.
It was straight sci-fi. I mean, there's robot dogs running around that do tricks and bark and give you high fives.
Really?
Okay, so we've seen some of these on, like, videos, and they're, like, walking slow, and you could tell it's a robot, it has a robot walk.
Do these leave little batteries if you don't get home in time?
We've seen the police.
Yeah, it's crazy. And TVs, that's one of the things that I think surprised me the most, because you kind of don't really think that a TV could be more than what it is. But what I saw a lot of at CES were TVs that were, they looked like windows. They were clear panels, but then they would come alive with like almost 4D sort of graphics that no matter where you stood from, it was all, it was a bit holographic. They would be placed like in these panels of glasses, glass that would be used either in commercial buildings or in separators like in your home, and anytime you weren't using it, it just appeared to be a panel of glass, but then it would show like a full HD movie on it, and it was so cool.
How much are they? When will they be available to us?
So that's the thing, is this is just a business-to-business trade show. So it's really just saying, hey, we have this tech. Would you like to talk to us? And for the most part, the products are either not available yet, and they're not available to consumers, but they don't even necessarily have a price point because they're shopping business wholesale carriers. There were, you know, home tech items that had some price points, but they're ready to launch in the next, like, 30 to 60 days. The big concept stuff, we're still a couple of years away from it.
So is that glass panel television, is that big concept stuff that we won't see for
like
years?
I didn't see any sort of pricing on that. And there were a lot of different, like, LG had that represented, Panasonic. So I feel like that's the next wave of technology, because all of the big tech leaders had some variation of the panel TVs and built-in TVs, like in mirrors and bathrooms. That was another thing, is the bathroom mirrors with the TV down in the corner so that you can watch your morning news and get your stock tickers and, you know, tune into your favorite programming while you're getting ready for work.
Right.
So TVs everywhere, essentially.
I need one across from the toilet.
Right. Yeah. I saw something that is probably going to be used for business at first, but then I could clearly easily see this being used for concerts and entertainment. There was this, it was probably 10 or 15 feet by 15 feet, kind of like a square metal frame with a light ring inside of it, and it beamed a person from Norwalk to right in front of you.
Really?
And you could see this person. It's not a television screen.
Yeah.
They're actually being beamed. It's kind of like a Zoom, but like super futuristic.
Wow.
And it looked like you're standing there talking to that person. They were in friggin' Norway, and the other person was in Vegas.
Wow.
Did you walk by that yet?
There were quite a few variations of that sort of technology that it takes Zoom or Teams or whatever your meeting platform is to the next level by giving the feeling of someone sitting like in the boardroom with you, which says a lot about where people's minds are headed with, you know, in terms of like global business and whatnot. And you're right, it will eventually take on a practical application where we can kind of be in the room with our families when we're not. You know what I mean?
Also, I'd rather see a band that way than like an avatar.
Right? Oh, my goodness. Ooh. Yeah.
Because it looked like the dude was right there. And if you could do that with a band, and if you think like,
I don't have to leave my living room.
Yeah.
Right. Can you imagine?
Right. Can you imagine that? Pay-per-view. Now your audience is the entire, potentially the entire planet.
Wow, look at this. The Killers are performing in my bathtub.
Can you imagine porn on there?
That took less than 2 minutes.
My mind goes there immediately.
That's kind of the running joke at CES and technology in general, is that, you know, these all kind of start out with a design and a plan, and it ultimately always leads back to porn.
Here's an interesting, so my son lives in Vegas. I want to connect you two because he's all over the city, but he told me that for the CES show, the demand on strippers or whatever,
escorts,
right,
was so high that the porn industry decided to have their convention the same week in Vegas.
Nice.
So they're all there.
Nice.
It's like, we're all here. We're all available because you have.
Oh, so we didn't plan it this way. Wow.
Yeah, we just happen to be here. All these millionaire and billionaire tech geeks are all in town.
So you're saying wear shoes.
Now, are you aware of that?
Right. So the AV and the Adult Video Awards is actually about a week after CES, but there's a bit of an overlay, and that is true. And the reason, what's wild is these tech gentlemen and the ladies come in from all over the world, and they don't gamble. The casinos do not do well this week, but it's still one of the most financially successful weeks in Las Vegas because they drink, they party, they go to shows, they buy out the hotels, they buy out the restaurants, and they're very supportive of the adult entertainment field to a degree that girls will come in that work in that industry from all over the world to cater to this market.
Yeah.
So it's a huge week for Vegas, but the tables are empty. If you go into the casinos, no one's really gambling because they spend their money elsewhere. But only about 25% of a casino or a resort's revenue comes from gaming. The majority comes from peripheral services. So this is a great week for Vegas. There's a lot of support for our working people. Yeah, it's great. We love CES. It brings about 130,000 direct visitors, and like through the whole, you know, the business side of it and all the peripheral parts, about 400,000 to 500,000 visitors kind of come into the market and bring money. So
It's
right up there with Super Bowl and F1 as far as conventions.
Wow. You mentioned cars. What are cars going to look like in the future?
There's a company here in town that I went and checked out called Royalty Exotic, and it's basically a company where you can rent Lamborghinis and Bugattis and drive around, and it's really cool. And I had just driven a Lamborghini, and then I went to CES, and I saw these concept cars, and even a basic Honda in the future is so much cooler than like the highest end supercars that exist now, because they're like these glass pods with 360 degree video technology, and you're not driving, you're like laying down, you know, and watching a movie or whatever while it takes you to
that's
your destination.
The future. Oh, that sucks.
Right.
No, it's it doesn't, because no one's looking at the road anymore.
Anyway.
See,
I want the car to be ready for this person.
No, I want to be looking about for these idiots not watching me.
Right, but at the same time, it's a little bit sad because, like I said, I had just driven a Lamborghini, and there was so much just, like, kind of raw, exciting power behind that experience.
Yep.
And now you look at the concept cars of the future, and they're very, like, pod-like. It's like driving an iPad, you know?
Yeah, I'm good.
So it's a little disappointing, but it's cool. It's cool.
Less human enthusiasm.
Yes.
Yeah.
Actually, there might be more because you don't have to actually do anything. So just lay back and enjoy the ride kind of scenario.
You were invited by a company that makes a cordless smart pool cleaning robot.
Yes. So the whole deal with CES, it's so strange. It's almost like it's like a club. You have to know someone. You can't just go to CES. You can buy bootleg tickets from like someone's friend of a friend. But the correct way to get in is you have to be sponsored by a tech company. So every year, just like, you know, any other big event, they'll start sending feelers out, and they'll say, hey, if you'll come check out our pool cleaner, then we'll get you into CES. And I was like, yeah, absolutely. They're called Iper. They were great. But here's what's wild about it. Part of the deal is you go to their event. And I'm like, it's a pool cleaner. Like, what kind of
event? How exciting is this?
About?
I've seen pool cleaners.
Right?
Yeah, yeah.
But then you go and they have like live entertainers, chefs walking around serving little bites of filet, there's champagne, there's dancers, there's like atmosphere models. It's the craziest thing because they really want, you know, people to take pictures of these cool, it's like Roombas for your pool.
Gotcha.
And they want you to post it, so they make their booth like kind of Vegas-y and sexy and desirable. And it's crazy. It's like a nightclub for people who are really into pool cleaners. CES really appeals to like the high-end tech nerds, and I mean that lovingly. Like, these are people who come from all over the world that are just really into tech. They write about tech. They talk about tech. So the pool cleaner was the center of the stage. You know, they had a giant pool set up, and people are drinking their champagne. They're watching this thing clean this pool that was set up yesterday.
How is it? It's cordless, so no hose goes to it? Nothing?
No, it's exactly like a house robot, but for your pool. And they also have one that cuts your grass. So the whole idea is that you have this app and you set it up and you can go out of town and the robot will be at home cleaning the pool, and it crawls out of the pool and goes and plugs itself into a solar panel and charges itself.
That sounds terrible.
Until you come home and find it, your wife. Just like drink your beer.
Well, thanks for coming on. You're great. We want to keep checking in with you on all things Vegas. Vegas Starfish, follow it on Instagram and all things social media. Thank you. Bonnaroo, is that a music festival that you think is a good music festival, Jimmy?
Well, it certainly is the classic music festival that people travel to. It was really the first one that, you know, in the hills of Tennessee, has a great history to it, Bonnaroo. And, you know, most music festivals have become more local, like Gov Ball in New York and Boston Calling up in Boston. And but Bonnaroo, nobody lives around there. You have to travel there. So I admire the people that put it on and the difficulty it must be, because mostly everybody camps at Bonnaroo, and that's adds another part of the job that's very, very difficult.
Oh, right.
There's a culture around it, yeah.
You got to build a whole city for these people because they're staying.
Yep.
It's like the relatives that come over, and they're staying for a long time.
Yeah. But,
okay. Be ready.
You're stuck with them.
But I will say one of the headliners I never heard of. And that was weird.
Fred again?
You got it. Fred again. I had to look. I had to Google Fred again. I said, what's Fred again?
Were they Fred before? Following Fred before.
Yeah, we're Fred, Fred again.
Now Fred again.
I couldn't believe, I mean, did you guys know who Fred again was?
I didn't know Fred before.
I didn't know first Fred.
Yeah.
Let alone Fred again.
Drop Dead Fred or something? Was there
that one I know.
Right Said Fred. Right. Too Sexy.
Also know that?
Yeah. Right.
Yeah, so Red Hot Chili Peppers, Post Malone, and Fred again, they're headlining the Bonnaroo Music Festival. They announced it yesterday. Other acts are scheduled for the festival include Megan Thee Stallion, Cage the Elephant, Jason Isbell, Diplo, Carly Rae Jepsen, and T-Pain.
How long can a Carly Rae Jepsen set possibly be?
Three songs.
Exactly. How long can it possibly be?
It's just intermission.
Set's going to take place June 13th through the 16th in Manchester, Tennessee. It's about an hour from Nashville. Tickets are $420.
$420,
yeah,
nice.
I'll tell you something. I'm not a big fan of doing concerts or particularly festivals on Mother's Day or Father's Day. June 16 is Father's Day.
Oh.
Ah.
You're going to not be home. You're going to be in the hills of Tennessee.
Maybe some dads before that.
I'm a little surprised at that. I don't know if they thought of it or not, but we find that shows on Mother's Day and Father's Day don't sell as well because people have other, you know, things they need to do.
Right.
Spend time with their parents or their kids if they are parents. And,
yeah.
But, again, that day is Fred again, so I'm not sure.
Right.
That's about.
Gordon from Shelton, you have a question for Jimmy?
Hey, good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning.
Hey, Jimmy, I know you don't know who I am, but you were friends with a gentleman named Michael and a gentleman named Pete back in the late 70s and early 80s. And Mike was a friend of mine. He told me to ask you the next time on air to ask about Pete Bloucher and how many stories you have about that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do it, Fred, again.
Do you know that who he's talking about, Jimmy, or no?
No, I don't. No. That's probably because the stories we have, we were pretty blasted and don't remember anything back in the 70s.
Right. Yep. Those stories say stories.
Those stories died with my drug history.
Yep.
Speaking of that, today is a big anniversary for you, right?
Yes. Today is actually the anniversary of my first concert that I promoted in the state of Connecticut.
Wow.
Holy cow.
Yay.
What year?
1972, January 11, 1972. I had Traffic and J.J. Cale at the New Haven Arena. It was supposed to be my second concert, but it was my first concert.
What was supposed to be your first?
Supposed to be the Allman Brothers on November 9th of 71, but then Dwayne died a week earlier.
Oh,
the show.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
I noticed there's not a lot of concerts in January. Is that because of the weather, because people are coming off the holidays, a little bit of both?
Well, you're right. It is because of the weather, because artists are very afraid of not being able to get from one city to the other. But when I was at my leadership conference at Live Nation back in November, I reminded everybody that the weather's not the same anymore, that it doesn't snow up in the Northeast anymore.
Yeah.
Don't worry about it so much. And when you put on a concert, you hate to have a lot of concert traffic around it because people only have a certain amount of money to spend, and you don't want to put too many shows on sale the same week. You don't want to have too many shows take place the same week that might appeal to the same crowd. I said, January is empty. I said, we should start filling up January. So hopefully going forward, my company will listen to me and artists will listen to me and start touring in the Northeast in January. But you're right. Historically, it's the weather. You know, if the band can't get from one city to the other because of snow, then they lose a lot of money.
The good thing, and well, one of the other good things about January is that you're not going to have a lot of competition.
Yeah.
Exactly right. And also, people have money to spend for concerts every month, and they're not spending it this month.
Mick in Southington, or South Windsor, sorry.
I think you kind of just touched on my question, where I noticed the other day that of all days that you've never held a concert, Christmas Eve, Christmas, and January 7th, which was just this week, is it, why, and does it have something to do with just bad luck and routing? How, just some days you have 30 concerts you've booked, but never one on the 7th. Can we hold one next year, maybe?
Oh, I'd like
That's
to
wild.
Do that. No, you're right, you're right. I saw that on my page, too, when I opened it up on January 7th, said I never had a concert on January 7th. And you're right, there are 3 days in I've been doing concerts now for almost 56 years, and there are only 3 days I've never had a concert. And you're right, it was Christmas Eve, Christmas Day, and January 7th.
Hilarious. Well,
January 7th is funny, because that's Phil's birthday, my birthday.
Oh, wow.
Yes, happy birthday, by the way, guys.
Well, thank you.
You went to the new age.
I entered a whole new place.
Yeah. I'll tell you, that was
right. Jimmy, you got to have a concert.
My that's favorite
Phil, when are you going to be 40?
Three more years.
All right,
Chaz, my favorite decade of life was the age you're in now. So enjoy it.
I feel pretty good about it.
Cool.
It is. It was my favorite decade.
Really?
Yep. Loved it. It was great. So, yeah, I never had concert on January 7th. It really is weather-related. You'll look on my archives page during the summer, and you're right. You'll see 30, 35 shows in one day during the summer because amphitheaters are open, and summertime is... You know, is every day of the week is Friday night almost during the summer because people go out on Tuesday.
No matter what.
Yeah.
But in January, it's dark and it's cold and people don't want to go out and they're cranky. And
one of the things about the 7th
is you got to be ready.
Just having a birthday there, and you know, Phil.
Yeah.
You know, there's Thanksgiving, there's Christmas, New Year's. By the time we get to my birthday, your birthday, everyone's tired.
Yeah.
Tapped out on cash. We've got our resolutions in place. No one's drinking.
Right,
no one's eating calories.
No one's
spending money.
Nothing.
And your Christmas present is your birthday present.
It's fine.
I've heard that before.
I get it.
Oh, I hate that.
Thank you, Mick.
Thanks for everything, guys. Bye-bye.
Thank you, brother. Yeah. Appreciate it.
I'm gonna just before Christmas
right.
area.
Yeah, that's tough.
Yep.
Jimmy, what are you working on now that you're back?
Well, we have had a busy week of trying to get shows. I'm trying to get REO into Connecticut, trying to get Train into Connecticut. I called up Steve Winwood's manager, who, you know, I love Traffic. We're talking about Traffic. Steve was a leader of Traffic. I haven't seen Steve Winwood tour in so long. I thought he might have been sick, but I got the good news that he will be out during the summer. I will try my best to get Steve Winwood back into Connecticut, one of my favorite artists of all time.
Cool.
Looking to bring the Doobies back in.
Nice.
We're going to be very, very busy this summer, as we are every summer. But I found a lot of open arms looking to come into Connecticut this summer. So it's great.
Oh, that's really exciting. And I want to get your thoughts, Jimmy, on this soccer stadium that's been announced for Bridgeport.
Well, it sounds very exciting. I you know, so many things get announced and never happen. I certainly hope this does happen. I think, you know, I'm very involved in making Bridgeport a real home to a lot of people. It's the biggest city in Connecticut. I think it's the most underrated city in Connecticut. I think the AMP has proven that people will love to go to Bridgeport, and I wish them all the success in the world. That's for sure. If they build it, it'll be great.
Does the city reach out to you guys because you've invested all this time and money on the amphitheater before they announce a soccer stadium and say, hey, man, we're not going to have concerts here? Or...
Well, that's a good question. I spoke to Howard about that yesterday. I said, you know, I would hope they don't have concerts there because it would just compete against the AMP. But I have no idea what's going to happen if they'll have concerts there. If they do, you know, we'll have to deal with it. Maybe we'll do some concerts there. But, you know, it's soccer stadiums are nice, but they're not concert facilities.
Right.
When you have a concert facility like the AMP in Bridgeport, you just can't beat it. You know, the AMP was made for concerts. We put a roof on it. We put seats down. We enclosed it. We put a great backstage together. We changed our ballpark into a concert facility. When you have a soccer stadium, you're temporarily making it into a concert facility. It's still a soccer stadium.
Right. And you don't need to do a 10,000 seat thing in Bridgeport when you have Xfinity, correct?
And you have the arena.
Right.
Which is 10,000. Right. And also, it's really not, because soccer stadiums are rectangles. And when you set up a stage, you can't sell anything behind the stage. So it's sort of a strange setup.
So it's not 10,000?
No, it won't be 10,000. It'll be right. Less.
And the Hartford Healthcare Amphitheater is what, 5 to 7?
5,700.
5,700.
Yeah, I wanted to make it less than 6,000. I wanted to make it intimate. I didn't want it to be too big.
Yeah.
I mean, the one thing I will tell you, and Rod Stewart said it to me personally, he felt that every fan was next to the stage when he was there. And we built it that way. You know, we moved the stage up to second base, and we, you know, made it as tight as possible so the fans would be as close to the stage as possible. And Rod recognized it. It was really nice.
We got a hold of an old writer from Rush, and this is for their dressing room.
Yeah.
For a show, June 20th, 1990. Where it was updated on June 20th, 1990. Can I go through some of this with you?
Sure.
Okay. And see if any of this stuff sounds familiar for Rush shows or other bands. This is for the dressing room. One color TV set with cable.
Yes, yes. That we always had to do because, first of all, Rush is from Canada. And if there was hockey on, they needed to watch hockey.
It does say to include ESPN.
Okay.
Well, there it is, right? So there it is. So they
Getty's also
sure.
A massive baseball fan.
This is true, yeah.
His personal collection is like would beat some museums.
Yes, but that was not necessarily on cable.
Gotcha.
You know, we had, well, I'm a New Yorker, so Channel 11 had the Yankees and Channel
9. Right, basic cable, yeah, you get that. Yeah.
So, but hockey was not really always on regular TV. Many times it was on ESPN.
Number two, one extra garbage can with sign marked, quote, cans and bottles only.
Yes, yes, because they didn't want it to be poured, number one. And, we had Rush on that tour. We had Rush at the Hartford Civic Center on May 8th of 1990 with Mr. Big. So
you guys had to do all this.
I had to do all this. And they were wonderful people. But they made sure their dress rooms were perfect.
Seems to me, 1990, asking for recycling bins, basically. They didn't even say recycling bins.
No.
Because there weren't recycling bins.
Ahead of the game.
Now. Yeah, they were like garbage cans marked cans and bottles only.
Or they returned all those things and got more money. We rush, we're a little cheap.
Could be that.
When we drink, we're rush. Exactly. When we return, we crush.
Exactly right. Yeah, let me have that nickel over here.
So now we're going through what was on the writer for their dressing room in 1990. 5:15 sharp, prepare one tossed salad, no onions, with low-calorie dressing on the side.
Yes, what happened was they would do their sound checks around 4 to 4:30 in the afternoon.
Okay.
And they didn't want to eat dinner too close to the show.
Yeah, get tired.
So they or burp.
Yep, exactly.
So they made sure that they had dinner well before the show. So I don't remember 5:15 in particular, but if it's in the writer, so Rush made sure that they had dinner prepared at a certain point for them, and it had to be well before the show started.
Although hearing "Fly by Night" song in a burp be funny. Why does the mic smell like onions?
Closer to the burp.
Oh, he brings the mic down closer to that.
That's the background of Subdivision.
Subdivisions. Today's top fighter.
I wonder, this sounds like it's for one particular dressing room. It doesn't say who it's for. It just says Rush Dressing Room. So they didn't share an entire dressing room, right? All three of them?
No, they normally did share a dressing room. They were very close. We had some artists that didn't, that required separate dressing rooms. Rush was a band, as they would say.
Oh, wow.
And they did everything together, and they were very close.
Fourth on the list, remove. No styrofoam cups. hot paper cups only. They were really environmentalist before it was a thing.
Well, then it's the squeaky sounds, too. It's like...
Oh, yeah. Goes right through you. Styrofoam bothers me.
Oh, my God, yeah. You take a styrofoam cup off the other one's like... Yeah, you will see my hackles go right up. Mm. I lose
and
my neck.
And remember, sometimes you could taste styrofoam.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Or it breaks off inside the cup, and then all of a sudden...
White
there's
floaties.
A,
yeah. Right. Oh, you hear him going, today's time to sort of cut some space down.
You get a little spooky action.
Close it to the...
Number five. 5 o'clock dressing room. One case of exotic beer, please. Change to 6-pack of exotic beer, e.g. Japanese, African, Dutch, etc.
It's no bud.
So this would be after the sound check. They come into the dressing room and they have a couple beers and a salad.
Yeah, get a little buzz on.
Nice.
I like that they specify exotic beer.
We ain't paying for it. Right. Turn the bottles and nick.
If we can't pronounce it, even better.
Yeah.
Well, first of all, I paid for it, so let's get that straight.
Right.
But Rush was in a class of its own. I mean, they weren't this, you know, I don't want to say it wrong, so let me try to say this right. They weren't a street band, okay? They had class, Rush. Those three guys... traveled in class, were high, you know...
Well-educated.
Well-educated, that's well. Yes, very well-educated guys. And they wanted to travel that way when they were on the road.
Yeah, right. They weren't warrant.
No. No.
Whipped cream and Miller Lite.
Exactly, right.
And Jack Daniels.
Or Rat.
Yeah. Rat would eat anything.
To be fair, they live up to the name of the band. Yeah.
You'd see them scurrying around every now and then.
Scurrying round and round?
No, when I had Rat, I had to get them multicolored condoms.
Nice. Right. And it said there are no traps.
Now, it was embarrassing enough to go into a store and even ask for condoms, but then when I had to ask for multicolored condoms.
Right.
Now, who'd you send out to do that, Bozzy?
That'd be the new guy.
Yeah, no, it was really weird what Rat wanted. They wanted tube socks.
Tube socks.
Now we talked
tube
about
socks.
That earlier.
Right. With colored stripes?
It had to be different colors, and it had to be tube socks.
Tube socks.
I wonder if they matched the condoms to the stripes
exactly.
On the tube socks.
Right. You're
that's a good
that.
Look.
You're Mr. Red, you're Mr. Green, you're Mr. Blue. Yeah.
Why do I got to be Mr. Pink?
Right. Wow.
So, yeah, Rat was a lot of fun to see what their next writer contained.
Right.
It was
cheese.
I was thinking cheese, peanut butter.
Cheese. Cedar shaving.
Marshmallow fluff.
Right, place the nap.
Well, Jimmy, thank you so much for coming on. We will talk to you next Thursday.
This was the Jazz and AJ podcast. Thanks for getting through the whole damn thing. Subscribe now and please rate and review us. Unless you have terrible things to say, then please don't. Also, share this podcast with friends. Jazz and AJ in the Morning happens weekdays from 5:30 a.m. to 10 a.m. out of New Haven, Connecticut on the mighty 99.1 PLR.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.